Hey folks, Kyle here. Thank you for listening. Just taking another quick second out here and add on my own show. Figure this is a good time to remind everyone of these shows I got coming up. I'm in Eureka, California. I'm in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, and Oakland, California, all starting actually next week. Basically some dates in there. May 16th in Eureka, 18th in Portland, May 23rd in Seattle, and May 25th in Oakland. Doing my show Hard to Say, this comedy show I'm working on. About living with trigeminal neuralgia. I've gone on and on enough about it on here. I really had a lot of fun out in Colorado last month, and people came out from the shows, and it's the best. Seeing people out at shows who like the podcast is just the best, and developing this show about the very odd and difficult thing I'm going through has been a pleasure that is unexpected and makes me very happy, and I'm very proud of the show. Like I said, I've got those dates coming up, kyleayers.com/shows. Please grab tickets now. Grab them while you're listening to this. Send it to a friend. Tell them to come out. Seattle, Portland, Eureka, Oakland. I would love for tickets to get moving a little bit. And so would the venues that are emailing me. And it's going to be a really good time. I hope to see you out. Thank you so much. I hope you're enjoying the episode. Once again, kyleayers.com/shows. Y'all are the best. Thank you. The best.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen.
Hey everybody, on today's episode, the very funny Caleb Sinan is back. Caleb, you know he's been on here a few times, he's been on Conan, he has never seen Casino. So wonderful. Not that he hasn't seen it. That's whatever. But his script is very funny. It's a great time. We're joined by the hilarious Simon Gibson, who's just the best as well. It's all around a wonderful romp. And it sounds like I'm reading an ad now. Did my tone switch into that? Enjoy. Please enjoy this wonderful romp through yesteryear with Caleb, Kyle, and Simon. It sounds like I'm like reading an ad. Anyways, please enjoy. Caleb Sinan has never seen Casino. He rewrote it, and we read his script. And please follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Never Seen It Show. I don't post very much at all, but we're going to have a Never Seen It game night where fans will be competing in before and afters and dag games and all sorts of Never Seen It games against each other for hopefully I can come up with prizes. And that's going to be December 4th. I'm committing to it just by saying it right now. So that's 2 weeks after this comes out, plus a day. That's very soon. Should be posting on Instagram and Twitter about it soon. Never seen a show on both of those. And we're on Discord as well, and that'll probably be where the first post is. I don't know. I don't get Discord. You don't have to hop on there. But it's like a message board of people who like the show hanging out. It's at fart.kyleayers.com. I can't believe that is true, but it is. Please go hang out there if you want. The show has a Patreon where you can get early episodes as well as episodes of my new podcast, Silly, Silly, Serious. Those are all on the patreon.com/neverseenit. And Silly, Silly, Serious, I've had Steph Tolev, Dave Ross, Caleb Sinan, Todd Sklar have all been on there. It's very fun. Quick little podcast. As well as early episodes of this and episodes of this uncut with no ads. That's all on patreon.com/neverseenit. Please enjoy Caleb Sinan, who's never seen Casino, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Discord to find out about our game night on December 4th. Thank you. Enjoy. Caleb Sinan has never seen Casino. Why did I say it like that? This is it, everybody. This is Never Seen It. I'm your host, Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen before. Oftentimes we were told the description for the show is not long enough, but here we are, still doing it. Hey guys, this is Kyle. This is the podcast where you will tune out because the concept is longer than the show itself. Today, having never seen the movie Casino, joining us is Caleb Sinan. Thank you for being here, Caleb.
That's right. I've never seen it, and I'm a little upset now. Because I was talking with Troy Walker last night, and he said it's really good, and I think my whole script is about how it's bad. So I feel bad. I feel like I'm going to get yelled at by cinephile Twitter.
No,
but I could use the followers.
Also joining us here, I'm not sure if he has or has not seen Casino before, is Simon Gibson. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I have seen Casino, and I will say, Caleb, you're correct. That movie is a piece of shit.
So. Okay, good.
Yeah. One of Scorsese's biggest fails.
Well, everybody, right. This has been Never Seen It. Thank you guys for joining us. You know what? This is, everyone's going to remember it, but next April Fool's Day, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, a 7-second episode and then 46 minutes of me describing Casper.
I didn't want it to look like I didn't want to do any work, but I did think about writing like 3 lines for the script just as a bit, because I think it's funny. But no, I wanted to give it some legs so we could let Simon play.
Let me play.
I know baby want to play.
I'm excited. I don't remember if I've seen Casino or if I've just watched Goodfellas while falling asleep. So
yeah, it's pretty much the same.
But it's people say all of Scorsese's movies are pretty similar, and I don't really. He's making it. It's hard to defend sometimes. Like,
yeah,
you can pluck out like 4 of them that are very different, but these two, the Casino and the Goodfellas and the Irishman, while all having different things happening, buddy, they're very similar.
Yeah. The whole gist of a Scorsese movie is that there'll be like horrible violence while a happy song plays in the background. That's it. That's his whole thing.
Yeah, it's sort of he does love that. He's like, I think he looks up what is the most expensive song to put in a thing, and then he's like, what if I had someone too old to beat this guy up while that song played? It's like, what if I had Leonardo DiCaprio at his spryest and strongest getting held down by Jack Nicholson on an inhalator on oxygen, smashing him,
right? And it's also like, what is it? Why am I so easy to fall for? Oh, a guy's getting his head chopped off to White Christmas. That's art. Why? Sometimes songs should match the thing. It shouldn't always be the opposite of the thing.
I don't know. Then when they match, then he's playing Dropkick Murphys during a car chase.
Yeah, I just hate when you know it's a song that like his granddaughter introduced him to, and you're like, okay, I know you don't know this song until like a week before you shot the movie.
I do like a lot of them, though. I like a lot of his movies so much.
They all work for me. I like most of his movies. I like most Tarantino movies. I'm like a dude who's I'm a basic bitch dude. So yeah. I can't pretend it doesn't work on me.
I love Scorsese, and I got a poster of Scarface.
My favorite Scorsese movie, Fight Club, in my mind, where he made it.
Yeah. Every time my girlfriend tries to come over to my place, we got to watch Heat twice in a row.
I only watch the episodes of The Sopranos where they talk about Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm glad those would be good episodes, though. Those would be good episodes, though.
Hell yeah, dude!
It's but man, Goodfellas though, so good. Those
fellas. I watched it last night. It's I think it's the best movie in the world.
It's really, really. It's got to go. All right, so you have never seen Casino?
Never seen it.
Which, I don't want to get too much. Casino feels like if Scorsese hosted SNL, this would be the digital short. It's kind of like what the opening. No! That's what the opening to Casino felt like to me. And I don't even dislike it. But it's like it's so weird to make it within that many years of having made Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a longer, more, just more drawn out version of Goodfellas with like some of the worst acting I've ever seen. I'm serious.
Well, now I really want to see it. Now I'm
it's sort of like if he never has said cut to a single Pesci scene from Goodfellas.
Yeah, he's like, just keep going, just go.
It's like if Judd Apatow directed the first draft of The Departed script.
But I don't hate it. That's okay. We'll do the script and then we'll figure it out. Okay, well, go ahead. Yeah. You've never seen Casino. Let us know who we're going to be playing.
Okay,
in the Casino script.
Simon. You're going to be You're going to be Don Rickles.
And
I can actually share it too, so we can all read off of my screen, so we don't have to pull it up anywhere.
Oh,
so we'll look like this.
Oh, nice.
Sweet. All right. Well,
by Caleb Simon.
Yeah, I wrote it. I was going to say Caleb Pileggi, but I was like, no, I'm really proud of these six pages. It's the most writing I've done all year. So, Simon, you're going to be Don Rickles and Joe Pesci and Sharon Stone.
I'm Don Rickles, Joe Pesci, and Sharon Stone.
Wait, maybe you should be. Okay, Kyle, you're Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Damn. And I'll be random dude and blind and guy and narrator.
This actually feels like what they would be called in his script. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he gives characters names. I think he gives them the actors. And then if it's not an actor he can text, they're called like Idiot 5.
Yeah. All right. So you'll be Sharon Stone and Robert De Niro. All right. And Simon, you'll be Don Rickles and Joe Pesci.
Nice.
And I'll be narrator and random guy and some
whatever dude. The fill-ins.
Yes.
All right, whenever you're ready, Caleb.
All right, let's go. Casino by Caleb Sinan. Exterior. I spent so long wondering if it was going to start interior. It's the first thing you got to type, but I was like, where do I start? If it's a car, is a car? Anyway.
Is a car an exterior?
Is a car inside or outside?
Man, all right. Getting scripts is hard.
It's so hard. It's why I never do it.
That's why I don't fault Judd Apatow for not editing stuff out. Your movie's 5 hours long. He's like, I wrote 200 pages. It's so hard. I'm not writing Eric Bana into a movie just to cut him out of it.
Yeah. Okay, so exterior, a pink Cadillac speeds down a dark road in Vegas or Atlantic City. Probably not Dubai, but what the hell, let's leave that open as an option. It's a town with gambling. The point is, this road is dark as hell. It's also a seedy outskirt road, one of the parts of town that you bury a body in, gabagool. So yeah, crime is happening for sure, in and around this road. It's desolate, except for the crime and that pink Cadillac. Don't forget about that. It's also night, when crime happens quite often. Interior, the pink Cadillac. All right, we're still, not much has changed. Still night. Inside this car, we got the usual suspects. Kevin Spacey, Kevin Pollak, Benicio Del Toro, and the Baldwin brother that's not the other two. They're all dead, though. They're chopped up in little bags in the back. In the front, we got Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. Character names, TBA.
What's that sound?
Sound? What do you mean sound? You're getting punchy, you dirty Mick bastard.
I don't think I'm Irish in this.
Well, fuck me. What do I know? I don't know what you are, but I know you're phoning it in.
I don't start doing that for a couple more years.
Robert De Niro stops the car and gets out. He opens up the trunk to find a completely operational slot machine, which begins playing compulsively while he chain smokes and reads one of those awful skin mags from the 60s or 70s. He's got a problem.
All right, voiceover. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a casino. I just knew I had to be built near or attached to a hotel, resort, or cruise ship. Everybody else was suckers.
Title card, Casino. Stylized with big, horrible lights, and the O is a tiny little nipple. Interior, a horrible casino filled with old people. And these people are old as shit. They're old in 1962, so we're talking Civil War veterans here, and not the good guys. Could be day, night, who knows. Robert De Niro's walking around the casino, smoking a cigar and grabbing his dick in a way that seemed okay at the time. He walks over to a blackjack table and starts yelling at a dude.
No counting cards, you Jimmy Jack piece of shit.
I told you twice already. I'm blind.
No counting how many times you told me that. Out of my casino.
Robert De Niro snaps his fingers, giving the signal. Don Rickles appears out of nowhere.
Blind? If you're blind, I'm a bucket of M&M's.
That doesn't make any sense.
If it made sense, you wouldn't be unloading the truck from Mama Johnson.
He's right, Don. Nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, I suppose it wouldn't hurt to light the tree. And the Gentiles in the back are going, this ain't Billy Graham.
I swear to God, Don.
A gunshot rings out. A hush falls over the casino as Joe Pesci walks over.
That's enough, Donnie boy. I've had enough of your Catskill Mad Libs. I like jokes about marriage and New York public transit. That's it. So knock it off or you're going to be eating ass through a straw in San Quentin. That kind of sounds like one of my jokes.
You heard him, Don. You and the blind guy both got to go.
Don Rickles and the blind guy both slowly walk to the door.
You're not really blind, are you?
Who's asking? Don and the blind guy laugh uncontrollably. Nobody knows why. Nobody ever knows why.
Thanks, Joe Pesci. That was really effective.
And, what do you mean?
I mean, it worked. They're both gone.
What do you mean effective? Like, I work for you? I do whatever you need me to do?
It seems like you're oddly fixating on something, and...
What do you mean, fixating?
Joe, words have meanings. It's not complicated. Use some context clues. I can't explain every...
Explain?
Joe Pesci pulls out a gun.
And what are you going to do, shoot me?
Yeah. What do you think I'm doing? Pulling out a gun? Oh, I get it. It is pretty annoying explaining shit like this. My bad.
Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro shake hands and have a quick laugh. Look out! Without warning, Sharon Stone walks over to the blackjack table and shoots Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci in the head. Then they lay dying and she shoots him again. Then she reloads her gun and shoots him a bunch more times to prove a point.
We always called each other stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. We always called each other casinos. Like, that's a good casino. You'd enjoy going there on a bachelor party or when you're almost dead.
The crowd around the bodies is confused. Hey, why'd you kill them? I don't really understand how this works narratively. They were arguing over blackjack, and now, I don't know, am I missing something? Who are you supposed to be? Why did you do that? How'd you even get here? Sharon Stone looks directly into the camera.
Lucky, I guess.
Sharon Stone winks. End credits roll as 8 Rolling Stones songs play at the same time. The end.
Oh, I am going to edit 8 Rolling Stones songs together, and they will be playing right now.
I would love just...
I'll text it to you guys when it gets edited. It always... Thinking about how, first off, didn't not nail it.
Is that kind of what it's like? I know Don, I wanted to, after I started writing, and I was like, honestly, as I was writing, I was like, I hope Simon, because I was like, I want Simon to be Don Rickles.
I also love how I was doing like 12 different dialects, and I couldn't decide on one that worked.
I thought they were just sort of like verbally about their commitment to the tone, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can honestly not remember a single thing that happens in Casino, except, I guess, spoiler, a car explodes.
That sounds right.
At the end, you find out that the car explosion wasn't that bad, even though it's like the inciting. How the movie starts.
I just remember the bat scene. There's like a famous bat beating scene in that movie. And,
oh, baseball bat. I was literally thinking like the animal.
Me too.
No, let me tell you, Joe Pesci kills a guy with a literal bat. A vampire bat.
Legally, he couldn't go by the name they wanted him to go by, so instead he just went by Joe Pesci. Man with the bat.
I remember that, you know, it's like a you know, it's very, you know, not notorious, or it's like a very famous scene, the you know, bat beating. And I did just watch not the whole movie, but for, I can't even remember. I think I was watching some on YouTube and it was like, you know, the most famous, or no, it was like what happened with Casino. And you think, because I was like, yeah, this movie sucks. Yeah. So that scene at the time, it was like, oh my God, this movie is like the most violent, gratuitous, you know. And by today's standards, I watched it again. It's pretty tame. It's not. Yeah. Yeah.
It happens so. It's sort of like when people watch like The Matrix and they're like, oh, so the bullets go slow. They've gone slow in every movie for 21 years. And you're like, yeah, but this was the movie 21 years ago.
Yeah, this
it came out. That. It came out with this, or people are like that Nosferatu is not that scary. He's just standing around a corner, and they're like, there weren't allowed to be corners in movies in 1918.
Right. Or it's like you ever watch a comedy in the 80s, and you're like, there were five jokes in that. Did they not know you could have write as many jokes as you wanted?
That's why I think like something like Naked Gun really blew everyone's minds.
Oh, it's the fucking
because they were
greatest.
Just like, hold on, but he can do a joke. During it, do you know what I mean? It's like
Simon showed me that movie. It blew my mind.
I watched it for the first time this year, and I was still like, "This is dude. Some of the jokes you feel are like weirdly timed, and people don't really make just like look at that fat lady jokes anymore." Yeah. But the ending at the baseball stadium is like the funniest thing, and there's like 20 or 30 jokes in it that would be the funniest joke any movie had this year.
Yeah, it is interesting, and you know what? I'll say this. You know, the guy's got some problems, but O.J. Simpson, he's a great actor. He's a great actor in that.
I looked him up afterwards and yeesh, but like, I thought, don't look him up.
Don't look
him
up. Well,
I just, because you guys know I hate the Bills, so it really, it
well, he never, he didn't get canceled. Because, imagine just thinking he got canceled. Yeah, he got canceled.
Yeah.
Cancel culture. But he never got a Razzie. It was just for the murder.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson gets canceled now.
I hope that. What if the Razzie Awards tried to give him a Lifetime Achievement Award next year?
Oh, that'd be funny. He'd accept it.
And our next category, we have a Lifetime Achievement Award for a producer, and our finalist is.
We're just standing on the top of hell.
Oh, I never thought of hell having a top.
Yeah,
it's got a roof, I guess.
Pretty cool.
That he's poking it with a stick, and you just think your downstairs neighbor is busy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got a apartment in the attic of hell. No big deal.
Earth is just the attic of hell.
I mean, how low would the rent? If you found out the rent in hell was like $350 a month, I'd be like,
Yeah, especially like what's the window sitch?
Yeah.
do I have to set up my own Wi-Fi or is it already here? Like,
is there laundry? And then Satan's like, hookups.
No.
They're in a weird place in the kitchen.
Yeah. The washer dryer is in the bathroom.
The shower curtain doesn't go all the way around it. Oh, I'm used to it in a week.
Yeah. Simon, you played Don Rickles. Is that close? I know he's in it, but I don't know anything else. Is he funny? Is he serious? Does he do his weird jokes?
You know what's interesting is like I had no recollection of Don Rickles being in that movie until I was watching that thing on YouTube, and I was like, holy shit, Don Rickles is in this. It's a very weird casting choice because. He like kind of floats in and out, but there's no real, it's almost like Martin Scorsese was just like, I need to put Don Rickles in a movie somehow.
It's like legally he had to do it.
Yeah.
The Rickle effect.
But is he supposed to be funny? Does he play a comedian?
No, he's not. No, he's not funny in it at all.
What?
As far as I remember. Yeah. He's like a floor manager at the casino.
Yeah, but I don't remember exactly either. But you think like he wanted to be like, I think he wanted to be like that old Rickles Vegas with Sinatra, and this is the time era. And it's always funny when you hear about like how Rickles was Sinatra's friend because Rickles would make fun of him. Yeah, and he was like people would be like, he used to make fun of him. He'd be like, hey Sinatra, what are you gonna have sex tonight? Oh, and Sinatra would laugh and laugh.
Yeah, he really busted his ball.
Hey Sinatra, what don't that hot lady likes you.
Yeah, roasting was a really different, hey, the kind of money they're paying you, smile. And you'd be like, oh, well, he just said you're rich. It's like, God. Yeah.
It was mostly acknowledging things that he wished he had that Sinatra had, and Sinatra laughing because he felt he felt no threatening vibes at all from Don Rickles.
No.
So is Frank Sinatra in it? Is he, or is they just, Don Rickles is in there not being Don Rickles?
He's not Don Rickles.
That is bizarre. No,
he's acting as a character in that.
What if like Rickles' SAG card was about to expire or something like that, and he just really needed health insurance?
Yeah, oh, I gotta keep my insurance.
Take my SAG card.
If you don't work, they take it away. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because in Goodfellas, I was rewatching that. I kind of forgot Henny Youngman's in it, and he does a set. He's just like doing stand up.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, is Don Rickles, is it just like, not only is it the same two lead, we still got De Niro and Pesci, but we have an old comic. I was like, is he doing jokes? I had no idea how similar it was.
Oh man. That scene in Goodfellas when he's just like, you know, I asked my wife, I said, where do you want to go on vacation? She said, I don't know, somewhere I've never been before. And I said, okay, how about the kitchen? Oh.
They laugh and laugh because it's girlfriend's night.
It's girlfriend's night.
But honestly, that joke's kind of woke because he's like, my wife doesn't cook. You know, I do that. That's pretty cool.
I do all the housework. You know?
Yeah, you know, we're pretty progressive couple. You know, she has a job.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Way ahead of his time.
All right, guys, we got a few. I'm going to cough. I already did. We got a few podcast games we're going to play. This first game is called Before and Afters. How it works is two movies have been smushed together into one movie. I will tell you the smushed together plot. You guys have to tell me the smushed together movie title. Some smushed together movie title examples could be Fargo, Saving Private Silverman, The Wolf of Wall Street. They're not well done. Is the thing to emphasize here.
These are always really, really hard.
And so we've got one. We got four of them here. Are you guys ready for plot number one?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Yes. An inventive U.S. Marshal and his unlikely partner save the president from feuding teenage New York City rival gangs.
Ooh. Okay, so it's West Side... West Side Story, one of them. What do you think, Simon? Do you want
to? Walker, Texas Ranger.
West Side Walker, Texas Warriors. The Warriors of the World, the U.S. Marshal. It's not U.S. Marshals. That's a movie, isn't it?
That's We Are Marshall, and it's about a plane crash.
Okay.
An inventive U.S. Marshal and his unlikely partner save the president from feuding teenage New York City rival gangs.
Hmm. Is one of them in the line of fire?
This is a real movie.
That is the beginning plot. That is the part of the plot to the first part. And you have the second part, I believe.
Feuding West Side Story. The West... Into the West Side Story. The West fastest gun in the West Side.
Olympus has fallen. West Side Story.
We are looking for Wild West Side Story. Wild Wild West Side Story. All right, number two.
Wild Wild West Side Story.
I just can't imagine
describing Wild Wild West as an inventive U.S. Marshal.
I know it's like, tough. Some of these movies,
spiders,
right? Some of the movies when you think about the plots and actually try and write them out. I talk about this a lot on the podcast, but one of the funniest things I've ever seen is this comedian Dan Friesen. When I was in college, like when I first thought about comedy as an idea, he had written a bunch of sketches where it was Barry Sonnenfeld, the director of Wild Wild West and Men in Black and Men in Black 2. It was Barry Sonnenfeld asking Will Smith to please stop spoiling the songs in the raps. Or please stop spoiling the movie. He was like, Will, the movie doesn't come out for 7 months. You have to stop. And Will Smith's like, what do you mean? He's like, here's the lyrics. Then we beat the spider guy. Then we save the president. And he's like,
yeah.
Then we beat the spider guy.
All right, here we go.
And then Kenneth Branagh came in a giant robot spider.
And then we made another Men in Black, and he thought he couldn't remember that he was a Men in Black, but then he did remember he was a Men in Black. Tommy Lee Jones
erased his memory, then brought him back. He united with his wife, and we saved the world, but nobody knew it. Wild Wild West. Now you're just like mixed.
Will, they don't even rhyme. All right, number two. A year after being left alone at home by his parents, a young boy finds himself alone in the Five Points, seeking revenge on the man who killed his father.
Mm. Home Alone 2, Lost in Gags, New York. That's like the first one I've ever gotten.
That's two of the four movies Caleb has seen.
Oh my God, I know. Whew. That was tough.
I thought I said not to do the two movies that me and Caleb have watched together.
I specifically put that one in because I thought Caleb would have seen at least one of those movies.
Oh, boy. That's such a relief.
Number three.
Let me tell you, real quick, though, Home Alone, the first one, Home Alone 2 is bad, but the first Home Alone, it holds up.
It really does. It's like a good, tight 90s script. Do you know what I mean?
Joe Pesci's in it.
And
there's a lot of really good... There's a quick documentary on Netflix about Home Alone that's pretty fun to watch, and it's like very Netflixy because it feels like they're just reading the Wikipedia page to you, but it's still super super interesting. And
yeah, cool. Wikipedia.
Yeah,
I watch those. There's like a
the Die Hard one is also really really good.
Die Hard one's great, it's great because like it taught me that like. You don't need to really write a script. You just need to be famous enough.
Yeah.
That you just pitch an idea. And because they were like writing that whole script as they were filming the movie.
Yeah.
They hadn't even like they were filming it and they hadn't even figured out the ending yet.
They had so little invested in the movie. The Die Hard building is across the street from where meetings about Die Hard were taking place. Do you know what I mean? They were like, let's just use that like office building in Century City.
They didn't know how Die Hard was going to end?
No. They were like trying to figure it out. Yeah. And so that is why there is one of the ultimate movie like gaffes, just like one of those like a horrible edit, and that is like at the very beginning because they didn't know how the terrorists or the crooks were going to escape, and they figured out that like ambulance inside the truck thing, but at the very beginning of the movie when all the bad guys walk out of the truck is completely empty. There's no ambulance in there. Yeah. And that's because they filmed that scene before they knew how it was supposed to end.
They were okay with finishing the movie thinking no one will watch this twice.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm watching it every Christmas.
I do. Yeah. It's great. I also love Home Alone. The Home Alone stuff is so funny hearing people talk about how difficult Pesci was on set. You know when someone talks about someone's difficult and then you hear the details and you're like, oh, they just, you wanted them to be like a funny puppet. Do you know what I mean? It's like, people be like, he was so difficult on set. He would always sit in his trailer and he never wanted. It's like, he probably tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really busy.
The one time I've, been on a set where I had, a trailer to go to, like, I'm sleeping in there.
Right.
When I'm not having to do stuff, I'm resting.
Do you ever try and like you're on like some like small set, like being some bit part in a sketch or something, and you think that you need to like be nice and entertain the crew? You know what I mean? You want to be like, what's up, guy? And then they hate you. They're just like, please go sit over there. And you're like they're putting your mic on. You're trying to like whisper riffs into it or something like that. And it's no, everyone's a union worker at work.
Yeah.
And they want you to sit on that box until it's your turn to dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. We and Simon were on the same set a few weeks ago, and I was a huge hindrance because I kept laughing at Simon, and like, I think I literally shook the camera with like, I was sitting at, I don't even know whose chair it was. I was sitting in some director chair.
I don't remember that. I mean, that was,
I think I ruined a bunch of your takes.
I always am like, I'm very skeptical about the this person's difficult, this is difficult story. That time that Christian Bale rant came out, I listened to it, and I was sort of like, it feels like everyone's right here. Like, yeah, you know, he went a little crazy, and he's screaming, but also, like, he's insane.
He's
and
Batman.
He has to be so focused to act. And then a guy is kind of goofing around where he's not goofing around or whatever, moving when you're not supposed to. It's just a lot of people at work, and you're taking a very tense moment in the 15th or 16th hour of a work day and extrapolating it down to like a 20-second clip. He went off a little much for any human in really any situation.
Yeah.
But he's also playing the most – he's a method dude playing the most stressed out thing in the most stressed out circumstances, and then someone kind of fucked with his shit.
Honestly, I have meltdowns if I work for more than like 5 hours at a time.
If this podcast doesn't end by one, I will throw my computer out the window.
Also, with Christian, he was on the set of Terminator Salvation. It was a horrible movie. I'm sure everybody felt bad on that thing. Like, how trying to make that good?
It would be crazy to be 200 days into a movie you know isn't going to be great.
Yeah.
And they're just like, okay. And then you're just sitting in what I assume is a set that is only green talking to a guy with dots all over him. And you're just like, imagine if the Avengers Endgame was bad and Robert Downey Jr. had to like die to nothing, and like all of his friends are in green and he's in green, and there's like a child in green to be a raccoon, and you're just like, and then they're like, okay, I mean, and now you die, we're 96 hours into this story, now you die, and he's just like talking to like who's that one character actor who does all the motion capture stuff, and like just
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, he's just talking to like Andy Serkis's understudy in dots.
Yeah, his stand-in.
I think that's hard. It's really easy to pretend you're Abe Lincoln. You don't need an Oscar for that. Everyone's also in the room with you. It's hard to be Andy Serkis should be what the Oscars are named after. They should be called the Andy's Circus. And it should be.
Yeah.
It's That's so why, like, hard. Being Gollum is so hard.
Truly. And everyone gave Hayden Christensen so much shit because he was like really, you know, bad in the in those Star Wars prequels or whatever. But the guy was like literally talking to a wall.
Imagine if you're talking to absolutely nothing. You're in a giant warehouse and there is nothing there, and you talk for 10 minutes and then Samuel L. Jackson walks in a robe. You're going to have a hard time focusing if you're the only two people there. If they're like, okay, so go kill those kids and then stand here and pretend a puppet, and not even pretend a person's there. We're going to CGI in a puppet.
Also, it's not only he's in the room alone, it's also they're like, oh, what do you got for me to say in this room alone? And they're like, it's the worst dialogue that's ever been written. You're like,
don't worry. Just say Jar Jar is betraying us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate sand.
This has never been done in the history of the Jedi.
Say the future is bad.
I'm going to be Darth Vader.
It's the first line of the first movie. the little kid turns to the camera at the end. I'm going to be Darth Vader.
Yeah. Does a wink like Sharon Stone?
The force does the wink, not even actually.
A force wink. Everybody knows the old
force.
It
just says the word wink pops up like a Batman punch. I just think it's hard. It's all hard. Everyone takes all these little things. They get. Anyways, here is the next before and after. I don't know how we got on this.
Wow, me neither.
While trying to survive and find a cure for the zombie apocalypse, three brothers and their father navigate the difficulties of life and love in early 20th century Montana.
Get ready to play.
Okay, what was the first one?
While trying to survive and find a cure for the zombie apocalypse, three brothers and their father navigate the difficulties of life and love in early 20th century Montana.
Oh God, I don't know the
28 days later, Bonanza.
28 days 28 later, Bonanza. Bonanza's like, see ya.
28 days 28 Legends of the Fall.
You're halfway there.
Ooh.
Second halfway.
Legend. I Am Legends of the Fall?
Ah! God, that was good. Woo! Caleb,
I was going to say World War Z, A River Runs Through It.
World War Z later.
I Am Legends of the Fall. Man. That
Here we go. Final one.
Yeah.
Caleb, there for research and a rescue, a movie star past his prime and a recent college grad link up in Tokyo to stop another group from capturing animals for a prehistoric zoo.
That felt like five movies.
Wait, it hurts to say. For research and rescue, a movie star past his prime and a recent college grad link up in Tokyo to stop another group from capturing animals for a prehistoric zoo.
Once upon a time in
Jurassic Park. Tokyo Drift, The Land Before Time. Fast and the Furious.
The first one is a movie star past his prime.
A movie star past his prime and a recent college grad link up in Tokyo is one of them. And the other one is there for research and rescue to stop another group from capturing animals for a prehistoric zoo. So we got like a sandwich going on here.
I think the second one is The Lost World.
Land of the Lost World? Movie star past his prime. Hmm.
Once upon a time in the Lost World? No, because it's why am I fixated on that?
I think even I even read any of the plot, you're like, this one's going to be Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Whether Kyle wants it to be or not.
Oh man, this one's hard.
Movie star past his prime and a recent college grad.
Oh God, this is tough. So I mean, we know that it's The Lost World is the second part.
It is The Lost World is the bread to this sandwich, if you will.
Ooh. Lost in Translation. The
Lost World in Translation. Hey, we got it. Oh shit!
The Lost in Translation world is what we got. Oh, it. We got God. It. That's another one that's like difficult to write the plot without literally saying the name of the actor.
There isn't a plot to Lost in Translation.
Right. I should have just called it the second dinosaur movie is a poster on Kyle's dorm wall. And you would have been like, oh, the Lost in Translation world.
Should have said, you can't hear what he whispers and some dinosaurs.
There's a bunch of dinosaurs in a sequel do karaoke. And it makes you feel mortality.
I don't remember Lost in Translation at all.
I would like it's a movie where I watched it four or five times in 6 months once and then have never revisited it, and I wonder if it would make me feel the same. I think I might have to wait till the pandemic is over to watch any of these movies that make me feel melancholy mortality.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, actually, I just need to spend my time watching like race cars.
Yes.
Absolutely. I need something to completely skew my reality right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's like that new show on Amazon, Utopia. Have you seen that?
No.
I just saw the preview and it's literally like it's got Dwight from The Office and some other people. But it's literally like about a global pandemic and the end of the
world. Oh no.
And I'm just like, why are we? Yeah. Why? Why even put this out?
I know put Dwight in that also.
We tried to watch like a scary movie, but we didn't want like one that we knew was explicitly graphic because I'm more of like I like a tent. And so everyone said It Comes at Night was really really good. They're like, It Comes at Night so good. It Comes at Night so good. And then we watch it and we're just like, this is a fucking pandemic movie. Like I thought it was like about a monster or something, and it's not. It's about like people getting coping with the pandemic, but it's like a very small scale indie movie from 5 years ago. It's like,
pandemic
I can't escape.
Comes at night.
You have to watch to find out. All right, guys, the next game we're gonna play is called
when
Opposite
Kyle
Day.
Makes a sound, you go the opposite way. That is how you do it. smile turns to frown. The game is opposite day, or something close to it.
All right, thank you.
That was good.
That is Mike Kaplan wrote that theme song for Opposite Day.
And performed it.
Yeah, so thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Performed it
so
as he wrote.
So these are Opposite Days we have done, though I'm confident, Simon and Caleb, I don't think you're all caught up on the podcast. So maybe we did these. I can't actually remember. How Opposite Day works is I'm going to tell you sort of something kind of opposite of what the title of the movie is. For instance, the bad, the good, and the pretty could be the good, the bad, and the ugly. The loudness of wolves could be the silence of the lambs. Do we understand sort of what we're doing here?
I gotcha.
I will tell you the opposite. You guys tell me what movie that title is kind of a bad version of the opposite of. Here, I'll play the theme song again. I'm not actually going to. It's long. Here we go. Number one, Uber Rider.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver. Number two, The Light Day.
In the dark of the night? In the heat of the night.
In the heat of the night.
In the darkness of night.
You're so close. You're saying
the long dark night. The dark night.
Yes.
Ah. I'm really bad at trivia stuff.
Here we go. The next two, these ones are harder. These ones are harder. Nowhere near any shoreline.
Nowhere near any shoreline. And very loud and incredibly close.
No. The opposite of that one will be called Something That Really Happened.
Oh, man. Ooh. Okay, now I forgot what the... Nowhere near any shoreline. Close to the mountain. In the ocean. In the deep blue sea. Cold mountain? Close.
Cliffhanger.
20,000 leagues under the sea.
I'll try and riff another complete opposite for this one. At the land back. I feel like I had a stroke saying that.
I'm
beyond the sea?
My ears
at the land back. Why does that sound like a weird slur?
At the land back. It does sound. I know who you're talking about, too. We got to have, that one is worse. What's the first one again?
Nowhere near any shoreline.
Nowhere near any shoreline. Manchester by the Sea?
I would have gone by woman back hair. Okay.
We need the...
Abyss?
Manchester's opposite would be woman shaved back.
Woman shaved back.
Woman shaved back, nowhere near the inlet.
Close.
Guys, we are looking for on the waterfront. On the waterfront.
Oh, come on.
Off the land back.
I don't even know what a waterfront is. I've seen the movie and I can't remember.
I don't even know who's in that movie. I've never even
That's Marlon Brando.
Oh. That's like could have been a contender.
Man. All those classic movies.
You're all right. It's all right. They're fun to watch if you want to like feel acting. Like you watch it and you're like, look at him act.
Yeah, yeah. It's also if you want to see 65-year-olds play every 30-year-old man. Every 30-year-old man is at least 65.
Yeah, it's like a 65-year-old playing a 30-year-old in love with a 20-year-old woman played by a 9-year-old. And she's pregnant.
Now, this sounds like my kind of flick.
Oh, boy.
The last game we're going to play is called Guess What Movie Trailer Kyle's Dad is Describing, having only watched the movie and never having heard of her.
Guess what movie trailer Kyle's dad is describing, having only watched the trailer and never having heard of the movie game.
How this game works is my dad watches a movie trailer. He describes what's happening in that trailer. You have to guess what movie the trailer is for. Caveat, my dad has not been to a movie theater since Space Jam was in theaters. He does not know anyone or anything.
Space Jam?
That's what I play the one same one every time. It's the Space Jam trailer, and it starts with my dad saying, "This is for Space Jam. We just saw this." Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. He came to them all with a pledge. That is a really fancy dinner. He is presenting them with a direct challenge, and they hated his speech. He can't find his family. The press went crazy when they found out. So many quick shots, all with one line. I didn't know phones worked on those back then. She says he will not negotiate.
Oh,
he's more than his job. He's also a husband and a father. And he knows how to fight.
All right. We think we got it here.
Is it Ransom?
It is not Ransom. It is not Ransom. We'll play the last. I think we got.
Remember that?
Shots are so fast now. Some fighter jets showed up, and that missile is heading straight for it.
All right.
Is this a new movie?
No.
Okay.
Is this like a true movie?
No.
Okay.
Olympus has fallen.
Not as far away as you might think.
Wild Wild West.
Further away.
Ah. Armageddon?
We are looking for Air Force One.
Oh.
Air Force One.
God, that movie's great.
I was once he said he came to a mall with a pledge, I was like, the pledge of the pledge. Like, I thought
you just say the word pledge
was in the title.
Allegiance, the skulls.
Yeah, I was like, ugh.
and then not negotiating. I was like, it's Ransom.
It's the negotiator. It's the pledging negotiator. It's the negotiator cleaning wood with pledge. All right, we got one more. Movie. You guys ready for one more here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Last one.
Okay, why is she breaking the elevator? This guy seems super tall. He's going to hit his head in there. It seems like he's starting a new job, and his wife wants him to start a family. I might have to watch this again, but that tiny door takes you where? So it's those guys being that guy.
Mm. Ooh.
Do you want to guess
going
it?
To scream it?
I'm just happy that I know it. You can guess it if you want.
Let's say it at the same time.
All right.
One, two, three.
Mean John.
Caleb, were you about to guess Mean Girls and you pivoted to you're like me being John Malkovich?
I was saying Bean.
Oh.
I thought it was Mr. Bean.
Good job, guys. That's a good way to end the whole thing.
Oh,
we got it right there. Whew. We got to win. We got to win.
Tiny door is what got me.
Yeah, I was like immediately.
Tiny door.
Is it Paste Magazine Tiny Concerts? Well, guys, thank you for being here. Caleb, thank you for never having seen Casino. Simon, thank you for having seen Casino.
No, I'm going to watch it.
Guys, tell everyone where to find you on the internet and if there's anything you want people to find you on the internet.
Hell yeah. Well, please follow me on Twitter. My Twitter got permanently taken down because of impersonation. For years I've been changing my name and picture to Trump or Biden or whoever I thought was funny at the time. And turns out that is against the terms and conditions. So my handle's not Caleb Sinan anymore. It's at Dumb Caleb. Dumb. Like a dummy. Follow me at Dumb Caleb, please. I got to get back to, I love Twitter, but I only got 800 followers. So please, it's a fun website, and I promise never to break the rules again.
That sucked because you were up there with the followers.
7,000. It was going good. I know that's not a lot, but to me, it feels like a lot now that it's down to 800.
Well, I will say this. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Simon E. Gibson. I also am trying to rebuild my follower count because when I got on a TV show that only 5-year-olds watched, I was like, I was like, I'm deleting my Twitter. I'm not going to get fucking canceled for something I wrote 8 years ago that I don't even remember. Turns out I got no followers from that show. And I also never tweeted anything that bad. I literally only tweet about food and being fat. So follow me on there. And that, you know, watch Cannonball. You know, only 10-year-olds watched it. So, you know, do that. I don't care. I actually don't care.
No, thanks, follow guys. Simon. Simon's a good follow.
Oh, come on. You're a good follow.
Oh, Kyle's a good follow, too.
Kyle's a great follow.
All right, everybody remember, you can only pick one. That's our official Never Seen It rule. Only follow one person per episode, and you have to unfollow someone from the previous episode. So, sorry, Mike Kaplan. No, thank you guys very much. Thank you guys very much for listening to the podcast. Holy shit, I forgot what... Okay, man. Thank you.
Smooth.
That is all of the it for us. Thank you for listening. Go find us on Discord at fart.kyleayers.com, Instagram and Twitter at Never Seen It Show. We got show merch, kyleayers.com/shop. Go find the merch on there. We got the game night coming up. Find us on Discord and socials for that. We got a patreon.com/neverseenit as well. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Bye.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.